Tonight is the 24th yahrzeit of Rav Soloveitchik of the Rav Zecher Tzadok Levracha, and as minig in the shul, each year we give different shul in his memory. So I'm going to say something over from the Rav. Hopefully, Svosov Medovos Bekeva. It relates to the Gemara and Daf Dalet. The Gemara tells us Psachim Daf Dalet. Okay. The Gemara has a discussion that we know the Mishnah begins Ol Abasa, the night of the 14th, there's a mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. So the Gemara says that midiraisa, that as we know, that chametz becomes osa for midday on the 14th. Whether it's because of Bayi Rabbi Yimotze, according to the Rambam, according to most Rishonim, it's only because of the Isav Tashbisu. So the Gemara asks, why don't we check earlier after is the halacha for chitemas reason makdimin v'nivdek b'shis for chitemas reason makdim lemitzvus nivdok mitzafer. In other words, why don't we start at least an hour before, or why don't we do bedikas chametz from daybreak? Says diksev ubi yom hashmini yimol b'sar alaso. That says by Avram Avinu that on the on the morning of the 8th, that the Torah tells us is the mitzvah of Mila. V'tanya kol hayom kula kosh l'mila, elish rizim makdim l'mitzvus. The Braisa says that even though bris mila on the 8th day is kosher the entire day, but we have a principle, rizim makdim l'mitzvus. Those who love mitzvus, they do it with alacrity, they do it as early as possible. Shenema, and how do we know Zrizim Akdim Lemitzus? Because it says by Avram Avinu, by the Akedah, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Am Rav Nachman B'Yitzabish. So it goes, Avram Avinu, when it came to the commandment of the Akedah, he got up early in the morning to do the Akedah, to go to the Akedah. So from there we see that Zrizim Akdim Lemitzus. I mean, my friend Rav Michal Shurkin always used to tell me, he says, the Akedah Mela, but the real Mesiris Nefesh Rav Avinu was the Vayashkim Avram Baboker, getting up early in the morning. So why is it that we do it at night? If the Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvus should only go as far as the morning, if that's the source, namely Avram Avinu, why do we do it early, so early? Because the Gemara says, Beshor Shibnei Odom Mitzuyim Bebateim V'or Haner Yofel Abdika. The reason we do the B'dikas Chametz the night before, two reasons. First of all, people are home at night. And also, because B'dikas Chametz is supposed to be by the light of a candle, because the light of the candle is a focused light. And therefore, it's better to, because of the candlelight, to do it at night. So, so the Pnei Yeshua asks a question on this Gemara, and the Gemara seems to say that, you know, why don't we even do it? Why is it that, and that the Gemara's first assumption is that we should do it because it's Rizim Ekdimim. The earliest the Gemara suggests is Mitzafa for the morning. And the source for that is both from Mila or from the Akedah. But by Mila, the Pnei Yeshua asks, what was the Havamina that you should do it earlier than the morning? How is it possible? We know that Bris Mila, because it says Bayom, has to be done during the day. And a Bris Mila that's done at night is Pasul. So how could we have thought, asked the Pnei Yeshua, that the Zrizim Makdinim should even precede the morning? So, And even the Raya from the Akedah, we know that Yitzchak Avinu had the status of an Ola Tmima. And Avod is also only kosher by Yom. And the Rav Assum posited that the loch of Zviza Makdim LaMitzvahs, the mitzvahs are supposed to be done as early as possible, that we can clear what is that halacha. Achronim have a long discussion about this. Is Zviza Makdim LaMitzvahs a part of the mitzvah? In other words, when you do the mitzvah b'zrizus as early as possible, so the mitzvah is done more b'shlemusha, and it's a mile in the mitzvah itself, or no, whether the mitzvah is done early or late in the day is irrelevant in terms of the mitzvah per se. There's a separate inyan of Zvizim Makdin LeMitzvahs. So Rav brought a raya from Toisus that you see that Zvizim Makdin LeMitzvahs is an ingredient in the mitzvah itself and part of the keem of the mitzvah, that the mitzvah is done better. Because Toisus says in Shabbos, in Reb Loza Mila, we know Reb Loza was of the opinion that even machshirei mitzvah adoicha Shabbos. Not only is a mitzvah adoicha Shabbos, bismila, but are those things that are essential. So, for example, if you, the only way to get the knife to the, you know, to do the sakin would be to carry it on Shabbos through the shusharabim. So, according to Beleza, there's no knife. You're allowed to carry it because not only the bris itself is doicha, but the machshirei mitzvah, the essential preparatory elements are also Doicha Shabbos. That's Reb Elazar's opinion. We don't pass like Reb Elazar. The Gemara tells us in Elazar's own town they pass like him, but in general the halacha is not like Reb Elazar. But Tosfos says Reb Elazar says that you're allowed to carry the knife. Tosfos says, but you know there would, you can mitigate against this, not to have to carry the knife, carry the baby to the knife. And Tois says that wouldn't be an Issa D'Oraisa, Chai Nosei Zatzmo. Or Tois says, why don't you just carry it, not directly, more directly, in the, you know, that would be more direct in the Shusharabim, carry it, you know, indirectly through Gagas or Kafifos, through the Carmelis, but areas that are not with Shusharabim. So Tois says, but by doing that, you will postpone the bris, and Zrizim Akdim LaMitzvahs. So you see that Tosfos is the opinion that Zrizim Akdim LaMitzvahs is not a Zaitika, a separate kiyum, but Zrizim Akdim LaMitzvahs is an essential, becomes an essential part of the mitzvah of Mila. And the Rav quoted also the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says, and the Ramor says that if a person, you know, Chaim says, if a person has tefillin, and he can start davening right away, but he doesn't have a talis yet. In order to wait, he says, better daven earlier with the tefillin without the talis. Later on, when you get the talis, you put on the talis. And Tosfos quotes based on the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara says in Menachos that the Gemara is in and Menachos Davein Beis that the for mitzvah tavin mitzvah b'shaita that you're allowed to be makriv. When we're makriv a korban, you can be makriv the emurim of the korban on Shabbos also. You don't have to wait till the next day, even though next day won't be Shabbos, because chviva mitzvah b'shaita. So similarly, in terms of the loch of Zvizim Akdimin, the Mogen Avraham apparently is arguing that Zvizim Akdimin is more important than fulfilling the mitzvah in a more perfect way, namely having talis and tefillin together. The Shus Yankov, based on this, Mogen Avraham says if a person has a possibility of being Mekayim, he has an Esrog. So should he, the Esrog he has now is a nice Esrog, but he can get a much nicer Esrog, more Mehudin Esrog later in the day. Should he wait for later in the day to be more Mehudin? And the Shus Yankov, based on this, Mogen Avraham says no. It's better Zvizim Makdim takes precedence. Now lechora he do mitzvah certainly is a one would think is a locha in the kima mitzvah. Also the Havaya, you see the he do mitzvah. Beis Halevi talks about by Chanukah. Also you see for he do mitzvah for tzitzit shenu akvun samila. It's Doicha Shabbos also. So you see, and that's Gemara says because of Hida Mitzvah. So you see Hida Mitzvah, which offhand we would think is part of the Kima Mitzvah, and based on this Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch says that Zrizim takes precedence even on Hida Mitzvah later on. So you see that Zrizim is part of the Mitzvah itself. Yeah.
I just wanted to add that Rav Huttner, in his first piece on Pachag Yitzchak on Pesach, says that the fact that the Medrash says Ushmartem es hamatzos elu hamitzvos
Mitzvah bal yotzah tach mitzem.
Right, Mitzvah bal yotzah al tach mitzem, that the source for Zrizim makdim the mitzvos is the play on words, Ushmartem es hamatzos, that the mitzvos become chametz. When a matzah becomes chametz, that's not a separate flaw. That's a flaw within matzah.
Right.
So that proves that Zrizim Makdim the mitzvos is a function within the mitzvah and not a separate fulfillment.
Okay.
Kind of question?
Yeah.
When you give the example of talis and tefillin, if you could just clarify for me.
Right, that's a good question.
What difference, in other words, if you have had tefillin and not a talis, it doesn't minimize the mitzvah of tefillin.
Right.
And vice versa. So then why would that be an example at all? I don't
right, that's a good question. So the answer apparently is that the key of the, because the loch is, the one tells us about Rav, that it never worked Dalet Amos without tefillin and tzitzis. And the way that the Rambam phrases it in Hilchas Tefillin, it seems that there's a key to put, also it's a key in the davening, to have both of them together. So it's not necessarily a key in the tefillin, but it's a key in the tefillah.
What if you don't have your
right. So again, it's not because of the mitzvah of tefillin per se, or the mitzvah of tzitzis per se, but the key of having davening would be ma'utav, but with talis or ma'utav but tefillin. And the tefillah is more enhanced if you dive in. If a person dives without tefillin, later on he's going to get the tefillin. Aside from the issue by Kriya Shema, you know, that's Ke'ilu Meir Sheker Ba'atzmo, but there's a special halacha to dive in by tefillin. And so, in that sense, you're right, it's not necessarily diminished in the tefillin, but the two together as it relates to the tefillah. I have a whole shtickle talk about this myself in Gan Shasham, the first one, but... Not about that, but also about putting the way the Ram phrases. You see the Kriya Shema and Tefillin, right? It's in that shtickle.
Would anybody argue that Zrizus is a key in Hidur Mitzvah, and perhaps that's why by Esro it changes a bit? Because
Hidu in the sense that we're saying that the mitzvah is enhanced.
Right.
But it's not Hidu mitzvah, because Hidu mitzvah is, that's not the source. We don't learn it from, Zekin Ron Veil. It's a separate source. Whatever that source is, you quote to them. Either we learn it from Mila, from Avam Vayashkem Vimor. Here seems to be Vayashkem Avam Babok. He's quoting mitzvah, matzos and matzos. Okay, so now, if we presume, but if we assume this, then we also understand that offhand, if it's part of the mitzvah, then maybe the aloch of Zrizim Makdimim only relates, and when the Mo'ah says, Zrizim Makdimim, maybe Atzafra, so the Mo'ah is saying, or let's say by Mila, the issue asked the question, what shach to say Zrizim Makdimim? That what did one think that you can do, that you can't do earlier because there's no mitzvah at night? So the answer is the mitzvah at night would have been, the one was saying, you see, the limit of Zrizim Makdimim is only in the morning, right? Then later, so the monk gives later on a separate reason why we do it at night, because the Or HaNer is better, because people tzum b'batayim, but word, because of Zrizim Makdimim, we would have only done B'dikas Chametz in the morning. Prior to that, there's no Zrizim Makdimim. So the Pnei Yeshua asks, but there's no, of course there's no Zrizim Makdimim earlier by Mila, because you can't do the Mila earlier. It's possible by Laila. But the answer is, but you could have made the Hachonis for the preparations for the bris earlier. The preparations are also part of the mitzvah. So that's what the Ma is saying. That also, you don't have to, and the Vav is the same, because since Zvizim Akdimim is integrated into the mitzvah, not an extraneous mila of Zvizim Akdimim, so it's correlated or coextensive with the Zman of the mitzvah.
So should you wait for Hachanis, for first mila until Yom?
So, in terms of Zvizim, you know, the Maila, you can do it earlier if it's necessary, but I'm saying the Kiyum, the obligation to do it, because the Zvizim Akdimin doesn't go earlier than this Man of the Mitzvah. Now, we know that the Mitzvah of Tashbisu applies on the first day, right, Biyom HaRishon, which Chazal interpret means to the day prior to Pesach, and the day is split. Now, in this mitzvah of Bdikas Chametz, the Rav assumed that the lach of Bdikas Chametz, I spoke about this in my Shabbos Gadol Drasha, but the Bdikas Chametz is it's not just a separate mitzvah that Chachamim instituted. One would think, because Rashi says, what's the rationale for Bdikas Chametz? Rashi says the reason for Bdikas Chametz is because of by a matzah, lest you forget about it and you violate by a matzah. And Tosfos says that the reason for it is shelo yovel ochlo, because maybe you'll find a beautiful crust of bread and you'll forget that it's Pesach and you inadvertently may eat it, right? So, but according to Rashi, it seems it's linked to by Rabbi and matzah, and it seems that Bdikas Chametz could be, and the Rambam seems to say more clearly, the way the Rambam phrases his halachas, that's the way the Rav assumed, that Bdikas Chametz is really the first stage of what? Of Biyur Chametz, of Tashbisu. And the proof, the Rav said, is the broch itself, Asher Kimsom V'Zom Tivanu, of Biyur Chametz. And this was one of the Rav's arguments against, you know, Reb Chaim, which, you know, famously answers on why the Rambam, I'm not going to go into the Rambam now, but the Rambam says that chametz is for only chametz. If you do an action, a ma'aser, you'd get malchus. So if you bought chametz, so if you fermented a piece of dough, so there would be malchus. So everybody else in the Rambam, it's a lavanita klase. The Gemara says it's lavanita klase. The Rav said, I mean, just parenthetically, the Rav said, if you look at the Ben Chananel's gears on that Gemara, he doesn't have lavanita klase. He has lav shem b'ma'aser. So that's certainly the Rambam had to, but let it be a lavanita klase. So Chaim said that since the Rambam is of the opinion that you could destroy chametz in any fashion, right? So that's not a lavanita klase, because it's only an isa se, not a kima se. The Rav was bothered by Rav Chaim's answer. I mean, because it's hard to say that tashbisu is only an isa se, not a kima se. I mean, Chaschinuch has a lot about this also, because you see, we make a bracha on it. If it was just an isa, we wouldn't make a bracha. So the whole Bdikas Chametz itself, right, is the beginning of Tashbisu. So now, when is the time for Tashbisu? So Rashi is of the opinion, Tosfos has Tashbisu after Chatzos, but Rashi is of the opinion that Tashbisu is before Chatzos. Now, the mitzvah of Tashbisu, of destroying chametz, is make sure that when midday comes and you're forbidden to own chametz, that you're chametz free. So the mitzvah is to get rid of the chametz, and, you know, prior to that, to make sure that there's no that there's no chametz. So it could be, therefore, the bedikah, you know, there's, at least on the drabbanan level, the time of Tashbisu has been extended. Right, either midiraisa, it could be this man of Tashbisu, that the time of Tashbisu has been extended earlier, so or that Tashbisu is midiraisa. It means when it says midday, it doesn't only mean that day is split, but it could be that Tashbisu even begins before that time, right? Either midrabanan, right? Because that's bedika is part of the process. It's the first stage of the process, searching and so on in order to destroy. So that's part of Tashbisu. So Tashbisu, and it could be even Midiraisa that Tashbisu is earlier. that the Ramban has a discussion about this in Tumnus Rashi. According to Tosis, that the reason Bedikah is only lest you come to eat it. So that was a new Zman that they did for the reasons, for the, you know, practical reasons. Namely, that's when people are at home. That's when the candle's light is most effective. But according to the Rambam, it could be that the Zman of Tashbishu actually begins earlier. And, you know, just parenthetically, the Rav once said, there's machlok rishonim, you know, there's an Isser, Stanley was speaking about before, that we're forbidden to eat matzah erev Pesach, right? The day before Pesach. So the Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, that is kibar aluzosu bebeis chamav. So from what time, though, is that prohibition of eating matzah begin? So many Rishonim hold that it starts, I think it's a Balamor about it, that the Issa starts even the night before. And others say that the Issa only starts in the day. So the Rav quoted from Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim brought a raya from the Manashtana. It seems that every other day you could eat chametz and matzah. So it sounds like even at the night before you could have eaten matzah as well, right? But this issue, the Rav explained, why is it that the Issa can't, you know, because he said it doesn't have a shem matzah. If you eat matzah in Hanukkah time, that's not called matzah, right? Matzah is only when there's an Issa of chametz. Matzah is in contradistinction to chametz. So when there's an identity of chametz, when does the identity of chametz emerge? When there's a mitzvah of tashbishu. So whether it applies the night before the Rav didn't relate it, I think, exactly to this, but may depend on this chakir. You know, is it why do we do it the night before? Does that now fall under the rubric of zrizim akdim lemitzvahs? Oh no, it's not zrizim akdim. It's a separate practical consideration, because that's when the light is better, the people are home. But because of that, that became zrizim akdim before. So the Rav quoted the Meiri indeed says that we do it earlier, and that also is because of zrizim akdim lemitzvahs. So that goes good with this, that this part of the mitzvah of Teshbishu, and therefore...
Kiyam mitzvah. Would that be nafka between a Kiyam mitzvah and a Issa mitzvah? I know on Shabbos you spoke about, perhaps...
Right, it may be related. Right.
Maybe that's nafka mitzvah between the two also.
It may be related, or maybe not. Even if it's an Issa Aseh, still, yeah, because of that, you're not...
It's still a Kiyam mitzvah and an Issa Aseh mitzvah.
Well, we're talking about on the Bedikah. Bedikah is certainly a Kiyam. So reason, you're right. Right, right. I'm just saying, if you say that Tashbishu, that Bedikah, like the Rav said, is the, you know, it's the prelude, or it becomes integrated to the midst of Tashbishu, so the night before, it's not only they said, because of these considerations, they said that they, Midi Rabbon, or maybe even Midi Raisa, they said the midst of Tashbishu begins earlier. And therefore, if it begins earlier, then it has the Shem Chometz earlier. It has the Shem Chometz earlier, so maybe it's also to eat... Then there'll be easy before, but if not, maybe not. You know, I'm not sure if it's really related. No, I don't think you know.
On Shabbos, you said there's nafka mitzvah between
Issa and Noshim.
Noshim, right. So is there also possible that we could say that nafka mitzvah is where the Zerubim Akim and Mitzvah supplies the Nisim Mitzvah as it does the Kiyam Mitzvah? Perhaps it's another nafka mitzvah.
Again, but the Zerubim Akim and Mitzvah, I mean, Bedikas Chametz, whether it's a Kiyam Tashbisha like the Rav says and so on, you know, there is a mitzvah mitzvabonon of Bedikas Chametz. Right, just to, you know, for the bracha, the Rav said, you know, it's telling us more than just about Bedikas Chametz. It's talking to us in general about.
It wouldn't only be Shem Chametz once it's actually prohibited to you. So the night before, it's not prohibited to you. Does it become Chametz until?
Right. So again,
until it's not Shem Chametz until it's prohibited.
So one could say that argument. I agree. Or you could say that no. I mean, and I don't. I think in Shitas Mishnah, I apologize. I meant to look it up before. There may be those who talk and say it's only from Chatzos, the Issa, right. And maybe there are those who say in the morning, and then there are those who I think the Shitas that say it light. Is it the Baal HaMor, as I recall? I'm trying to remember. I apologize. I didn't look it up before, but it may be related to this issue. Now, does it have a Shem Chametz before? Correct, right. According to those who shown him, Rashi's like that. Rashi held that you can only bake matzahs, right, only Erev Pesach. Chassidim do that. My mechutin.
We did.
Does that. You did it also. Okay. So why do they do that? Because Rashi and the Goyim have the opinion that you can't have lishmo for matzah if it's before that, because it's not called matzah. It's only, as I said, matzah is only contradistinction to chametz. So... What?
Rav didn't like that.
But I mean, it's Rishonim. It's, you know, it's Rashi. I mean, the going, they ask on Rashi, how, what will you do? According to you, that you have to bake the matzahs. What happens when falls Erev Pesach? So they say the, you have no Eitzah. Then you have to bake the matzahs. And if Erev Pesach is Shabbos, when you can't bake the matzahs, what do you do? You have to bake it Motzei Shabbos right before the Seder. Right, so the Seder you have to cut down on the books that the kids read, and it goes a little. Yeah. Again.
We're saying that matzah may not have a shei matzah on days with chametz and not also.
Right.
But we say that so we're making the distinction between chametz and matzah. We're talking about shal lilos, and that's when chametz is melted.
Right, I mean, because the language, right, I'm speaking, but right, we, I mean, we know the identity of bread all year, but it's just, it's called chametz. Right, I mean, the Rav said it could be that others think, you know, maybe it has a shem matzah all year. Because of kochim, because there is a din of chametz, maybe it has a shem chametz l'gavi mikdash, maybe that's relevant or not. Okay, this is, as we think about the Rav, you know, on this, his 24th Yahrzeit, you know, his extraordinary legacy that he left. But, you know, he was one of the people, there were a handful of people like that, who really saved American Jewry when everybody wrote the obituary of American Jewry. There are some people who came, who really made the difference. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Satmar Rebbe, Rabban Kotler, the Rav, they were people of enormous faith, because when everybody would have given up, they had faith in just in, you know, in Jewish destiny, but also in the American Jewry, that was possible. But the Rav's approach was that, you know, he thought the ingredient that would save them was teaching Torah at a high level, and also, you know, for not just for an elite group, but Torah is meant for everybody. In that respect, the Rav was very much, you know, very egalitarian. He believed the Torah wasn't supposed to be in a vinkel. Everybody, whether they're doctors or lawyers or scientists, and in that approach, he was very successful. There's no point in talking about it, but I mean, when I used to sit before the Rav, I mean, the Talmidim here, I was just stunned. I was just speaking to your father, to Dr. Danishevsky, the other day about it. Yeah, excuse my message, I say if I met your uncle the other day. He was in the Rav Shir 3 years. You know, just what came across was the seeding mind. He was just, you know, his mind was just so incredible. He was such a genius. And
I'm in the Rav Shir, that toward the end of his Shir, one of the Talmidim asked him a question. And he thought, leaned back, got up, walked out, came back the next day and gave the shiur over again, but in a way that it circulated around that question.
Uh-huh, right. Now, also, you know, the integrity that, you know, not only intellectual integrity in what he was learning, but his extraordinary integrity in everything that he touched. But if you can't be a great leader if you're not an honest man in every respect. I'm not saying anything, but in terms of creating a movement, you know, I remember once somebody told me this. I'm not going to mention his name, but he said this had to do with an important youth movement, and it was did great work. But he said we can't survive if we take, you know, financially, if we put everybody on the books, you know, the additional tax or whatever. So Rav said, then just close it down. And, you know, it's just so instinctive and intuitive, and you'd know that's what the Rav would have said.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that was a Briska quality, the Bakoshas HaEmes, the search for truth, and thinking about how Jewish, especially American Jewry, will survive, and his faith in it, and his commitment, his Mesivas Nefesh for teaching Torah, even when he was in excruciating pain. I remember we used to go up sometimes to Boston. And the Rav had a very serious back problem, but he would give shiurs. One, you know, even he was in real, real pain. And it's an amazing thing about this. You see, when he'd come in, he was exhausted and in pain. And as the shiur progressed, he becomes so strong and vibrant. And then as soon as the shiur was over, he sort of like collapsed on the desk. Mm-hmm. He couldn't. It was that he was so identified with Torah, and that it was the adrenaline for him, that, you know, I've said this many times about this, I'm going to close. Anybody who ever heard the Rav, they will always, like we remember, you know, yesterday, where were you? I used to ask my students, but goes to show my age, where were you when John Kennedy was killed, or what, you know, they weren't even born. So now, but, you know, everybody remembers where they were, if they were alive at the time, doing the landing of the moon, and so everybody will remember the first shiur they heard from the Rav. It was so transformative. It was such an exciting experience. It was something that you never thought you would experience before. And he literally molded the way you thought. It was the most extraordinary experience. And that's the legacy that he leaves for us. So I'm now going to introduce Rabbi Zecharia Senter, who was a Talmid of the Rav. And he'll reminisce a little bit about the Rav. Harvey, Ed says that Senter's the middle speaker. Harvey said Senter's the middle speaker.
Right. Brishus, the Mord Asra of Menachem Ganak, Brishus of Reichman. She's called a call, a Kodesh Hazeh. Ed Boardman just made a comment that center is the middle speaker. The center is in the center. I want to tell you a delightful story about my last name. I say it over so many times, but I think it's so amazing. I was walking in the Gula section of Yishalayim with my wife and a few of my kids. I'll mention a landmark that I think a lot of you are familiar with. Uri's Pizza, right in the middle of Geula. But right next to the Uri's Pizza is a Svarim store. And they had and probably still do have a minion factory there. Just like Shemesh Shabbos in Borough Park and Landau and Flatbush. Every half an hour, new group come in and they dab mincha. Then, when it comes to Marav time, the same phenomenon occurs. A guy came walking, running out very heatedly, and he pointed a finger at me. He said, "Center, get a rein." So I said to him, "How'd you know my name?" Because a lot of people mispronounce it. It's spelled with a samach, not with a tzadi. But very, very often people have said, "This is Zecharia Senter, Harvey Senter." So this guy came over and he said, "Senter, get a line." I said, "I'll be glad to join the minion, but the curiosity is killing me. I have no idea who you are. You not only know me and you know my name. How do you figure that out?" And he looks at me like, "What kind of weird dude is this?" He asked me that question. And so finally dawned upon me, he was telling me, "Tenth man, center, go inside, we need you for a minion." I heard Rabbi Ganak say many times how very special the Rav was. And I can only tell you how much I appreciated that. And I once heard the Rav give a hesped for his uncle, the Brisker Rav. What he said about the Brisker Rav, in my mind, is so applicable to him. He said the Brisker Rav was not only a gadol b'dayrei, he was a yachid b'dayrei. He wasn't just a gadol, he was unique, he was singular in his godless.
that's so very true about the Rav. He's not only a tremendous guy, and he was so unique in so many, many, many different ways. And I'd like to share with you something that he said with regard to matzah and the beautiful thought in which he concluded it. The Gemara tells us that you can't use tevel for mitzvahs matzah Seder night. If you have wheat flour from which trumas and maizes were not taken, and you go and you bake that and do not adhere to the requirement of trumas and maizes, you're not yotze. So the Gemara gives the following explanation. The reason why you're not yotze is goes according to the man d'amar that ain't isa chalal isa. So this thing that you're using is also b'achila because it's tevel. Tevel is also b'achila. You're not allowed to eat tevel, something from which trumas and maizes were not taken in Eretz Yisrael. It's also b'achila. And it goes according to Laman D'Amar, who holds any sechal alisa. So if this would ferment, if this wheat were not watched carefully, and it did ferment, and someone ate it, he would not be over the, he'd only be over the Issa of Tevel, but not the Issa of Chametz. Why? Because any sechal alisa. And the Hekesh, that you can only be yotze that which could come to an Issa of Chametz, but your Zrizis, your Zahiris prevented it from happening. But if it didn't, couldn't ferment, and so in the Gaelam Isa now, some people have corrected the word, I think it's a misleading word. They'll say matzah. It's really not matzah. There's a lot of product out there that is not made with wheat. It's either made with potato starch or tapioca starch or a combination of both. But they properly so put a warning on the label not to be used for sacramental purposes on Seder night. No, why not? It's kosher. It's 100% kosher of Pesach. Tapioca starch, potato starch is 100% kosher of Pesach. But since this can never ferment, it's not one of the Chameshis Haminim, and if it's not from the Chameshis Haminim, it doesn't come to Chimutz. Since it can't ferment, therefore you can't use it. So the same thing with regard to something with wheat. If wheat is tevel, and what happened? You didn't adhere to the proper procedure to deal with the problem of tevel. You just ignored it, and you went and baked it, and you ate it. You're not yotze. Because you can only yotze with something that could have an isa tevel on it, but your zahiris prevented that from happening. So Tosis asks the following compelling question. Compelling question. Why does the Gemara give such an answer? Why doesn't the Gemara give a more obvious answer? It's Dumya the Esrog. Let's play out the same scenario. You go to a pardes, you go to an Esrog farm, and what would happen if the Esrogim were tevel? It was Esrogim from which they were not mafresh tumas and maizes. And you use that Esrog on Sukkos. You would not be yotze. Why? Because of the Gezeres HaKosov. L'chachtam l'chem b'yam arishen, l'chachtam l'chem mishalachem. It has to belong to you. Esrog that you yotze with must belong to you. So if it's an esrog of tevel, it doesn't belong to you because you were not mafresh trumas and maizes. It doesn't belong to you. So the Gemara has a limud that there's an aspect of l'chem with regard to matzah also. So for that Tosis, why did the Gemara use this? it's the reason for esrog. It works perfectly well for matzah. Apparently, Taisa says it's not the case. Why? Because how much of the esrog has to belong to you? Every single iota of the esrog has to belong to you. There's no shia has to belong to you. Every single part of the esrog has to belong to you. But how much matzah has to belong to me? A kezias. So Taisus says that if the problem was only dumyo di esrog, that's a chasor and lechem, be it a way around that a person can prava shtick. What would the shtick that he prava? He'll eat so much of the tevel that even if you make a calculation, how much he should have given away because of Tfuma Gedayla, how much he should have given away because of Maisa Rishon, or because of Maisa Sheni, or Maisa Ani, he'll still eat so much that he'll still be left with Kezias that did belong to him. So the Rav cracked the following joke. And it would seem counterintuitive, but I'm going to tell you now, in general. The Rav had a fascinating sense of humor. And oftentimes, he would tell humorous stories just to enhance the interest in the shir. But like I said, he had such a serious look, such a solemn gestalt, that one would not expect it. So he told this joke. The Rebbe got up in shul on Shabbos, Chassidish Rebbe, and he said, "Sezeya vichtik to essen kigel on Shabbos, because kigel in gematria is Shabbos." So a guy is listening in the audience, he says, "And shuldik me Rebbe, how do you get that?" He said, "Shabbos is shin, beis, tuf. Shin is 300, beis is 2, tuf is 400, that's 704. I don't care whether you call it kugel with a vav or you call it kigel with a yud. You're never going to get close to 702. So the Rebbe smiles and he says, "Felt ice? Es nachashtekul kugel. Nachashtekul kugel." So he said, this is what Taisus is saying. That the reason why this teretz doesn't work of Dumya the Esrog is, in contrast to Esrog, the shear in matzah is only kezias. So beyond the kezias, there seemingly will not be any problem. That's what Taisus answers. But then Taisus says, "V'oyd yesh loyma," and he gives it the second teretz, a completely different teretz, which I'm not going to go in at this time. But the Rav had a gang in all of Shas. In all of Shas. Wherever Taisus says, "V'oyd yesh loyma," it means he's not happy with the first teretz. Because if the first teretz was bulletproof, he would see no need to do what? To say, "V'oyd yesh loyma." So the Rav repeated the punchline of the joke. He said, What's bothering Taisus? What's bothering Taisus? He said, "Es nachashtekul kegel, es nachashtekul matzah." What's bothering Taisus that he didn't like the first teretz? That what did he say? "Why yesh lema." Then he said, the Rav said, such a marvelous musavot in answering this, what's bothering Taisus. He said, when a Jew does not do Trumas Amisis, he's a gazlin on the whole thing. We have a right to eat Peris Eretz Yisrael only, if and only, we do the Mitzvah Satubuyis Baris on the Paris. Which is such a beautiful, beautiful thought that the Rav gave. While I'm on that thought, I just want to mention Rabbi Yanak spoke about people wearing talis, wearing tefillin. I'm reminded, here's another beautiful, moving story, that My second year in the Smicha program, the first year we learned Yaradeya, the second year he learned Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, and the third year of the 3F Smicha program was a Masech, the Sanhedrin. Second year in learning Aruch Chaim, we learned Kriyas HaTorah, we learned Tzitzis, we learned Tefillin, we learned Mezuzah. One of the parts of the Halachas on Tefillin, Mechaber talks about when are your chaylets tefillin? So he mentioned a minig that is not very well practiced these days, but in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, it was practiced not so infrequently that people would leave the talis and tefillin on, walk through the street, and only take it off when they got home. They would, again, do the whole davening in shul, leave the talis and the tefillin on, walk through the street, and come home, and then be chayyeh the talis and tefillin. So the Rav told the class that he was very mystified. He witnessed his maternal Zeta, Rav Elia Prizhna. His last name was Feinstein. The Rav was a cousin of Moshe Feinstein. He witnessed a strange hanhaga of his Zeta, he told the class. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, he did what we normally do in our daily hanhaga. We take the talis and tefillin off in shul and go home with the talis and tefillin all put away in their respective bags. He did that Sunday through Thursday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, he took off the tefillin, took off the talis as a normal person. Hanhaga. Only on Friday did he not do that. Only on Friday he walked through the street with his talis on him, with his tefillin on him. Then, to make it more mysterious to the Rav, he sat down me'utaf b'talis u'muchta b'tefillin at his desk in his home. And he took certain coins and he put them in different envelopes. And then he wrote sefach, wrote notes. He said, I was a young boy and I just couldn't bring myself to question the Zeta, but it always bothered me until I met the Brisker Rav. I said to Rav Velvo, the Rav told the class, do you understand the reason for the strange hanhaga of my Zeta, my maternal Zeta? He said, yeah, absolutely, I know the reason why. He said, on Friday, your maternal Zeta, Rav Elia Prizhna, gave Maisik Sofim. He gave his charities to all the different charities. He counted up the money that he made during the week, and he gave out the different tzedakahs as Maisik Sofim. He held it was such a holy act, such an important part of his Yiddishkeit, that he decided he wanted to do it while he was wearing his talis and tefillin. That also explains the coins and the different envelopes and the little notes that he wrote. And then the Rav made the last comment. The Rav said, boys, compare my Zeta to the Haintek of Rabbonim. Making a comment about there are many rabbis that are not necessarily the source of that type of inspiration. I'd like to also mention one other thing with which I will close. The Rav talked about why is it that we say full Hallel all through Sukkot, but on Pesach we say full Hallel only the first day in Eretz Yisrael, and only the first 2 days here in Chutz Laaretz. And the rest, we say only Hef Hallel. Hef Hallel is just a minig. It's really not a recitation of Hallel, but Torah's Hallel. You're not Mekayim the mitzvah of saying Hallel. So, but the question is, why? Why is it that Sukkot requires Hallel every single day? So the Gemara, and this again, you know, Gnat mentioned so often, and I've heard it before, I heard it tonight, how unique he is, what his, the Rav was with his insights, his ability to be tight to something. So the Gemara answers that the reason why your garment is a Hallel on Sukkot is because Sukkot chalukin hain b'kovan esayim. Every single day of Sukkot has a different carbon. You look in your city, you see when the Yom HaSheni, the Yom HaShlishi, different Kabbalists of the different days. Pesach is not Chalukat Hayim B'Korban Yisrael. The same Korban was brought each and every day. So the Rav asks, that's very true, but how does that answer the question? I'm just adding on this of my own. What if somebody would offer? Well, the reason for saying that for Hallel is because Sukkot comes out in Tishrei and Pesach comes out in Nisan. You say, that's a kayak that you told me that. But what does it have to do with the question and the answer? So the same thing, the Rav asked, the fact that Sukkot is Chaluk and Hayim B'Korban Yisrael, why does that mandate that they full Hallel should be said every single day with the bracha? And because Pesach is one korban, the same korban, every single day of Pesach, you only say it one time. So he gave the following beautiful, insightful answer. Chalukin hain b'korban yisrael is a bevis. It's a proof. It's an indication. It's reflective of the fact that every day of Sukkot has a different Kedushas Hayom. Because if everyone had the same Kedushas Hayom, then it would only be necessary to say it once, like we only do it for Pesach. But because every day has a different carbon, that is an indication, it's a manifestation, that every day of Sukkot is a Chag Bifnei Atzma. Although they're all called Sukkot, but Yom Rishon of Sukkot has its own Kedushas Hayom, Yom Sheni has its own different Kedushas Hayom, and that's the reason why we do the whole Hallel on Sukkot. And the Rav added on a fascinating psak of his father, Rav Moshe. He always used to say, Rav Menachem, Bechub Gehetan, Tate, Nam, and Fut, from Futter. So this time he quoted a minig that he told, he not a minig, a halacha, that he told B'Shem, his father, that if a person was incapacitated for some reason, what if he was in a coma during the first 3 days of Pesach? What should he do when he's healthy enough to daven? What should he do then the first time he's able to daven? He should say full Hallel. Because you have to say full Hallel one time. This is the reason my Dima Mrs. we were talking about, so you do it the first day. But if you're not able to do it the first day, you do it the second or the third. I want to add on one more thing with this. What Baba Ganak said is Emes Lamitai. I heard it myself. The Rav once said, if I had the ability to add on another Ani Mamin, I would say Ani Mamin B'Emunah Shleima, that Torah can flourish here in America. Torah can flourish in any land where people put their hearts and minds and souls to the task. And he was the one, together with others, Remember, my wife Zayda of Palev used the same thing and say all the time, the same thing, that Torah can flourish here if people are committed, devoted, and consecrated to learning Torah. I want to leave you one last thought that I saw in the Chumash that I picked up before. The Rav was talking about when Yosef confronted his brothers and disguised himself. And he accused them of being spies. And they felt that they were in a lot of tzaras now. So the Torah tells us what one Jew said to the other, which was, "Aval Hashem Anachlo Achinoa." They said, "We're guilty for what we did to our brother. When he called out for us and begged mercy from us, and we turned a deaf ear. We're getting justifiable punishment right now for that cruel act that we did." And then it says, "Vatan lahem ya Ruvain." And Ruvain said to them, "Hello, amata lechem al techatu vayeled? Didn't I tell you not to do this? And now you're responsible for his blood." So first of all, the Ramban asks the question. The whole thing starts in Parshas Vayeshev. You don't hear about Yosef saying a word. You don't hear Yosef pleading for mercy. So the Ramban gives three truths into that question. One teretz, he says, it's a davar pashut, that if a person is facing the possibility of very, very substantial harm, he's going to beg for mercy. So the Torah left it out because it's obvious. It's compellingly obvious. A second teretz is that kachi dakei shel Torah, that sometimes the same event is related twice, one time in complete detail and another time in sketchy detail. Kachi dakei shel Torah. And the third teretz is that it was left out in Vayeshev shum gnus l'shifteikah, that it would be a big gnus if the Torah would have written how he pleaded and begged for mercy and they turned a deaf ear. That would have been a tremendous gnai. The Torah left it out. So the Rav asked two compelling questions about this whole story. One, wasn't it gnai when it tells it to you now? Why isn't it gnai now? If one of the terusim is it was left out in the Yeshiv, why wasn't it left out entirely? It's a gnai now to hear this story about how cruel they were. Well, I said, no. When you're doing tshuva, it's not gnai anymore. No matter how terrible the act was, when you own up to it and you say, "We deserve this penalty. We deserve this earnest that we're getting because we did the wrong thing." That's not gnai anymore. That's koiches and nefesh. That's about tshuva, embarking on this important path in life. But the other question that the Rav asked gave an equally compelling answer. How did Reuven say what he said? There's a halach in the Rambam. If a person is embarking on tshuva, the worst thing in the world is to say to him, "Oh yeah, you're trying to do tshuva now, but I know what kind of machal Shabbos you were before. I know what kind of chazer fesser you were before." You're not allowed to do that. If a person is embarking on tshuva, you shouldn't torment him. You shouldn't make fun of him or downgrade him. So why? Why did Reuven take it upon himself to say what? "Hello, amata lechem al techatu vayeled." So this is another enormous capacity that the Rav had. He could see things in a single word. He said, no, this was the problem. Reuven said to them, what did they say? Avashem manachno avachinu. They only had harata because they did it to their own flesh and blood. Reuven was saying to them, you want to do tshuva? Own up to the fact that it would have been a chet to a total stranger. He's only a young boy. He's immature. Don't be so harsh on him. So this is a very, he saw it in this word. That what were they saying? We're guilty because we did it to our brother. No, you're guilty because you did it to anybody. And this reminds me, he didn't say it at this time, but he once told this story, and I want to close with this. Chaim used to travel a lot to raise funds for different meisters. He was a Zayd, Reb Chaim. And he always traveled in regular, normal clothing, not with the begodim of a chosh of a rav that he was. So one day he was on a train, and the train pulled into a station. And two guys got on. And they saw this man sitting in the car by himself, and dressed not in any special dignified way, or special dignified to show his position. He wore a regular business suit when he traveled. So they started to poke fun at him. One guy said to him, Wusadai Naman, what's his name? And he said, Ichais Chaim. The other guy jumped up and down and said, Chaim the fed, Chaim the horse, Chaim the donkey. And they started going kin and zedle him and poke fun at him and ridicule him. Then the train pulled into a next station, and a chosh of a rav walked into the car where Reb Chaim was being maltreated by these two. And so, Briska Rav, Shalom Aleichem, what's mach the Briska Rav? These two guys just realized what they had done. And they started to beg for mercy. Reb Chaim, Zaitun Zmoichel, we didn't know that you are Reb Chaim from Briska. Chas v'sholom, we never would have done that. So Reb Chaim just said one to them, Stama Chaim, Megmen azay beledekin. Stama Chaim, Megmen azay zidlin. You're allowed to make fun. You're allowed to ridicule. Just a plain Chaim. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The cover of Torah that belongs to me, because I'm Reb Chaim from Brisk, ich bin der Meichel. But the cover of Habriyas that belongs to every Chaim is something that I'm not a balabas to be mocha. This is something that you have to do tshuva for. So the story of Reuven reminded me of this, because Reuven said to them, don't have charata just because you did it to a brother. Have charata because it was a dastardly act to do to anyone. I thank you all for listening, and we all know about how great and wonderful the Rav was and the shvuah that he had, and he was saying that his memory will be continued to be cherished and inspire everybody and to adhere to his great teachings and to continue to sing in prayer to his name. King Yehudson.
Time, Shus, Rav Ganak, Rav Asenta, all the assembled.
chashuvim. Let's say over. From the Rav, I have written up in the Sefer Shema, Shurim, and Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph, basically. We talk about the topic of saying Hallel and Shul at night, say the night. The Tosfos in Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph, it's a long discussion about this question. It's actually a machlokas mechaba in the Ramah. Mechaba says simply that we do say Hallel at night in Shul with a bracha. And the Ramah says we have no such a minhag. And it's a machlokas minhagim between Sfardim and now Chasidim came Sfardim. So Chasidim say the Hallel at night and regular Ashkenazim don't. I want to discuss four Shitas HaRishayim here, which divide into two groups. The group of Rishayim that says the Hallel in Shul, as well as possibly the Hallel at the Seder, that's one group, and which is the group of Rishayim on the side of the Mechaber, to say Hallel in Shul, say the night. And the other group of the Rishayim who don't say Hallel and Shul, but they only say the Seder. Let's start with the group of the Rishayim who say the Hallel and Shul, and the simplest Shita, which is the basic Shita of Chassidim and Sfarad, is the Shita of Ramban. Ramban says that in Shul, after Ma'ariv, we should all say Hallel with a bracha. And then when you come to the Seder, you say, again, like almost everybody does, you split the Hallel into two parts. One half or one section is in the Kol Sheni with Magid, and the rest of it is on the fourth cup. And there's no bracha. There's no bracha. But the Ramban says, let's say in your shul, they did not say the Hallel with the tzibur and the shul after Ma'ariv, and you're at your Seder, and you're saying Hallel now, the first time at the Seder, he says, then you should say a bracha. Then you should say a bracha on the Hallel. In other words, when you begin the Hallel in the second cup, before you begin the Hallel, in other words, say bracha to Hashem, and kalam al-chal, ma'ashek etcham, mitzvah sivonu, I'll clear the Hallel, I'll clear the Hallel. That's his shita. The second shita, okay, that's the sheet of the Ramban. So let's explain this sheet first of all, because the second sheet is a little complicated. He has a Hallel and Shul with a bracha, followed a Hallel at the Seder without a bracha. However, if you don't say Hallel and Shul at all, then the Hallel at the Seder needs a bracha. So it requires explanation. What's going on? So the Rav said that really, if you think about it, the Hallel Seder night could be put into two different types of mitzvos. One mitzvah is clearly part of Sipritzius Mitzrayim. So this part of the mitzvah is after this, as part of the story is to give Shir V'Shevach to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to thank him for Yitzias Mitzrayim, for being the beneficiary of it. So it's part of the mitzvah of Sipritzius Mitzrayim. However, the Gemara in Erchin discussing the Hallel of the holidays, say Hallel, as Rabbi Santa pointed out, we say Hallel of Pesach and Sukkot, Shavuos. So there the Gemara quotes a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Hashi Elohim Kalelis Kaddish Chag, that and the Gemara learns out from this Pasuk, the mitzvah of Hallel, and it says, you say Hallel, and any time there's a Chag which has Kedusha. And therefore, it says, for example, Rosh Chodesh, there's no mitzvah of Hallel Midraisa or Gans Hallel. And say the Gans Hallel doesn't have a kedusha of Malacha. Only something which has the kedusha of the Chag has this Shir Yilochem Kaleil Es Kaddish Chag. However, the pasuk, which is talking about the Hallel of Kedusha Sachag, that pasuk says Kaleil Es Kaddish Chag, the night of Shir Lachem Kalelis Kaddish Chag. Which night is this? So the Yerushalmi learns, interprets it as refers that it's a hallow at night. It's a hallow at night in the base of Knesset. This is the hallow of the Chag. So it has nothing to do with Tzipi Tzias Mitzrayim. It's a special din, even though normally all Chagim, you say hallow only by Yom, not by Laila. It's a mitzvah say Yom, not a mitzvah Laila. But Pesach night, there could be a separate mitzvah to say Hallel at night. Don't forget, we have in the Haggadah, we say that the night of Pesach is like the Yom. It's a separate, night. It's a night which has the status of a day. So therefore, the Hallel at night could be recited in Yom Tov. And it's a day slash night. So there are two possibilities for the Hallel. It could be it's Mitzad, Sipit Sias Mitzrayim, or could be Mitzad Din Yom Tov. So that could be the way, simple of explaining the Ramban. If you say the Hallel and Shul, it's way before the Haggadah, you're not saying Sipit Sias Mitzrayim. This Hallel and Shul is a Shir Yelochem Kleles Kaddish Chag. It's a Hallel of Yom Tov. Hallel of Yom Tov, you say a bracha, like any other Hallel and Yom Tov. Then you come to the Seder, and you're saying Hallel all over again. It's a different mitzvah completely. It's about Sipit Sias Mitzrayim. And there's no bracha on Sipit Sias Mitzrayim. In general, we don't make a bracha on Sipit Sias Mitzrayim. Yes?
Then why would you say Hallel the next day? In light of the Gemara and Erev, that there's only one Kedushas Hayom for Pesach, and you already said a Hallel for Kedushas Hayom at night, so why do you have to say Hallel the next day?
Oh, that's a very good question. So it could be that the Hallel... Yeah, so it's a very good question that the observer is asking, and Rabbi Gronach is answering. So I just flesh out a bit what Rabbi Gronach is saying. The Kedushas Hayom, which is Machai of the Hallel at night, of Pesach night, is not the same Kedushas Hayom, which is Machai of the Hallel of the Hallel of Yom. The Hallel of Yom, the Gemara connects to the Kabbonis, like Rabbi Santa pointed out from the Rav. It has these kabbonis and these kabbonis every day, by sukkahs or once. It has to do with the Kedushas Hayom of Musafir. That's the Hallel. The Kedushas Hayom of night, there are no kabbonis at night. The separate Kedushas Chag of Pesach, Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, I would think about this actually because I was bothered by this question myself. So if you look in the Pasuk writes, Leil Shimum Hu Lashem. Let's see a master sign. Hu halayla hazeh, l'ashem shmum l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'doyroysom. So the pasuk is emphasizing it's a separate night l'ashem and for b'nei Yisrael l'doyroysom. It's a separate kedushas Pesach leil shimurim. That's the hallel. That's what the Rav meant. That's what I thought it meant. Okay. However, the Ramban says that if according to his shita that. There is a Hallel of Yom Tov at night, the special Kedushas Leil Shimurim, as we said. And there's a different Hallel for Sipit Sias Mitzrayim at night. The first has a bracha, the second does not have a bracha. So first of all, I just want to say, why would there not be a bracha for the Hallel of Sipit Sias Mitzrayim? Besides Sipit Sias Mitzrayim. So the Rav said, because in general we don't make a bracha on Sipit Sias Mitzrayim. We don't make a bracha. Why not? I don't remember why he said why not. I think the answer is like this. That's a din shiva. Right, exactly. So Rav Haigoin, he says that the only time that the Chachamim were masak and the bracha on the Hallel is because if it's a mitzvah kriya. Likro is a Hallel. To read that, the text of the Hallel, that's the mitzvah. However, he says that there's no Hallel. He actually addresses this issue specifically. Why is there no bracha on the Hallel at the Haggadah? He says it's not a mitzvah kriya, it's a mitzvah shira. We don't have thought of shira chagosha. Hallel kodesh, we sing shira. Shira does not have bracha. Ad kan divrei
that Haigoyenhau explains it. And the Brisker Rav in the Sefer has a long piece about this. And one of the things the Brisker Rav says in the Sefer is that if it's a mitzvah shira, even if you say one pasuk or part of it, you get a mitzvah shira. Shira, there's no gvul, a lot, a little. However, if it's a mitzvah kriya, he says you have to say every single word of the halal. If you miss a few words, it's like by kriyas hamagila. You have to say every word. So if there's a takana to say a gans halal, every word is ma'akev. He calls rishonim, but he also calls rishonim that the halal of shira means the halal of the haggadah. You skipped a few words, you also yotze. Say shira has no gvul. So therefore, like this, you only make a bracha on a mitzvah which is mesuyem. So it has a beginning and an end, a well-defined nice mitzvah. Hanachas tefillin, kazayis matzah, things which have a definition, beginning and an end, it's mesuyem. So there you make brachas. A mitzvah she'ein mesuyem is an open-ended mitzvah, which is basically freestyle. So a freestyle mitzvah, the chachamim were not masakin brachas. There are two kinds of mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs are formal. There's a formal procedure, it's a ritual. There they made brachas. It's part of the formal act. It's more like an avoda. It's a service. So therefore, you need a bracha. The Rav used to say the bracha is mati. It gives you the right to do the mitzvah. It's a separate avoda. But when there's a spontaneous mitzvah, which you do as a result of inspiration, of a moment, so here, there's no bracha, like giving tzedakah. So they say, you know, you can make a bracha, meanwhile the ani is going to faint. So it's something you have to do spontaneously. It's a spontaneous feeling, but there's no beginning, there's no end. So you don't. It's not packaged as a maisa mitzvah, which has a haschala and a soif. It's a kiyum of doing it on your own. So therefore, there's no bracha. That's the halacha apparently of shira. Okay. However, the Ramban says a chiddush that if a person for some reason his shul they didn't say the halal, but his personal minhag is to say the halal of Yom Tov, then when he comes to the seder, he does make a bracha because then he's getting the mitzvah of the halal of the Yom Tov, which he didn't get in the shul. So now he makes a bracha. Okay, that's the shita of Ramban. There is in this school of saying halal in the shul with a bracha, there's the shita called Shita Ben Yehuda, the private shita of the Ri, and the Tosfos. He says that he agrees with the Ramban that in the davening halal in shul you make a bracha, apparently. But he says if for some reason you didn't do it in shul, you come to your seder, don't make a bracha. Ramban says you will make a bracha. He says you won't make a bracha. So. And the reason he says not to make a bracha is because he says there's a big hefsek in the middle of the halal. As we said, halal is a davar shalem. It's a chefetz shel mitzvah. It's a beginning and an end. It's a formal ma'aseh mitzvah. That gets the bracha. But at the seder, you're being mafsek in the middle. You have a whole meal and you bench and you come back to the halal at the end. How can you integrate the beginning with the end? So the Ramban himself addresses this question. And Ramban says, no, he says, it's not the hefsek, it's all part of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. So since it's part of Sipitzias Mitzrayim, it's not a hefsek, you can make a bracha. So we have to explain this machlokes. But Ramban's teretz, it's not a hefsek, is a question. It's not a hefsek mitzad the Sipitzias Mitzrayim. And the chanam, it's all one gigantic Sipitzias Mitzrayim. But as far as the chefetz of halal, just not saying the bracha because of the halal of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban's bracha is the formal chefetz of halal, which has a beginning and an end, and it's integrated into one chativ achas. That's the halal of Beit Knesset. You have to say there, you're destroying that halal. Okay, you're doing Sipitzias Mitzrayim, but you now have a chativ achas of halal. So I don't have it in the sefer that the Rav addressed this question. He just put down the difference in machlokes. So I was thinking that maybe the machlokes could be in terms of hefsek, that according to the Ramban, according to the Ramban, is as long as there's, it's integrated in some level, as long as the beginning has an end, and it's through Enoch Hanami, it's not Mitzad the Din of Kriyas Halal. Mitzad the Din of Kriyas Halal, it should be a Hefzik. He's eating a Suda, he's saying Bichas HaMazon. How can you say it's one Heftz of Kriyas Halal? But Mitzad Sipitzias Mitzrayim, which does not have a Bracha, there is a Tziruf. So the Ramban Shita is that if there's a tziruf in some level through a mitzvah, that the beginning of the halal somehow connects to the end of the halal, that's already enough to integrate it mitzad the mitzvah of Yom Tov, and say that at the end of the day he got a cheftza of halal of Yom Tov. However, the Ri says it's not possible, since mitzad the strict laws of a single cheftz of halal, it's not a cheftz of halal mitzad yontif, even though it has the kiyum halal, it has a kiyum halal of even of shira, but it has it's there is a connection of halal. So the Ri says it's not enough for the bracha. Okay, anyway, that's the machlokes there in that particular situation. But fundamentally, they both agree that in shul there is a bracha and it's a halal of yontos. Now the other shittas are showing them. This is a psak of the machaber. Doesn't get into this question of the Ri and the Ramban. What happens if he didn't say it in shul? You say the one bracha, no brachas. Okay. The other shita, the Ramah, is that there's no halal in shul. And there's only halal at the Seder. So, at the Seder. However, over here, there's also machlokes of Rishonim, in that side. So the Chayra, it's not a halal of Yom Tov. They reject the whole idea of saying a halal at night. You know, the pasuk says, Kaleil is Chad Eshchag. Okay. I don't know what they do with that pasuk. But they don't have a halal of Yom Tov, the Chayra. They'll never have a Sipisius Mitzrayim. However, within that Tosfos, there are two opinions. One opinion says that, like us, no brachas at all, and during the Seder and the Halal. And the other opinion says you should make two brachas, one Likro and one Ligmo, one on the first half, one on the second half. So here, the Rav is talking Masbir, the Shita that says you make two brachas. Two brachas is a big chiddush. If you make a bracha likro and then a bracha ligmo, two brachas in the Seder on halal. So the shita that says there's no brachas at all, it's a Rabbeinu Hai going, there's no bracha on a shira. There's only bracha on something which has a beginning and an end. The shita which says you make two brachas, apparently, amitzat sipitzias mitzrayim. So we're going to have to explain two things. First of all, why two brachas? And if sipitzias mitzrayim in general doesn't have a bracha, why should this part have a bracha? So you can say like this. So the Rav said that the halal of the Sipitzis Mitzrayim at the Seder, according to the Shita that make two brachas, apparently splits. In the Sipitzis Mitzrayim itself, there are two halals. There's a halal on the nest of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mamish, on the nest of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the first halal that we say in the second, and that has its own bracha. Then there's another halal in the fourth cup, on Gvuas and Kaddish Baruch in general. The Kaddish Baruch takes care of us in general, and we as Hashem will have a Gula Shalema. So it's an eschatological, it's a big view halal. It's part of the mitzvah of Magid, apparently. Part of the mitzvah is to expand our Shir V'Shevach to everything the Rabbeinu Shalom does for Klal Yisrael. But it's a different chativa, it's a different platform, and it gets its own bracha. So that's that shita, that there are two brachas. One halal of the Seder is al hanes of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the other halal, the second part with a bracha, is al gvuras Hashem. So we're left with only one question here. Why would you make a bracha on the halal, and you don't make a bracha on Sip Yitzias Mitzrayim in general? So the answer is like this. Because Sipitzis Mitzrayim in general is not Mesuyemes. That could be very short, like the Shein Yodei Lisho, or the Tam. Could be very long, like the Chacham. It's not a mitzvah which has we call a well-defined chefza. Therefore, it's not so formal, and therefore, Tzibbutz Mitzrayim doesn't have a bracha. However, the Hallel section is very mesuyam. You know where to start. You know where to end in the second cup. You know where to start and where to end in the fourth cup. So basically, the bracha is triggered by the chefza, that chefza of the mitzvah. Even though the mitzvah bechlal is not mesuyam, so the mitzvah bechlal does not get a bracha. But within this mitzvah, there's a certain piece which is very mesuyam, very well defined, and there are two parts to it. Therefore, the shita says it mechayev a bracha. However, the shita which we pass in the Ramah says that since the mitzvah in general is not mesuyam, even you can't pick out a chelik of the mitzvah and say, oh, this piece is mesuyam and I'll make a bracha on this part of the halal, that part of the halal. There's no bracha, and also it's shira. It's like when I say shira, but it's the first part of the shira or the second part of the shira, and therefore there's no bracha. We should be zeichet to be continue to learn this Torah and be ma'abed this Torah for Rabbi. Amen. Shukayach.
Baruch Hu as Adonai Hamvorah.